All right. If you will turn with your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians 11, 25 through 29. 2 Corinthians 11, 25 to 29, and then 13, 11 through 14. And if you'll stand with me as we read. 2 Corinthians 11, 25 through 29. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? 2 Corinthians 13, 11 through 14. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated.
Am I on? There you go. Paul's getting his coffee because he knows that that's what you need. Oh, somebody else needs it. Oh, greetings this morning. This is a great morning. There's many people are missing, and that's okay because we're here. And I was reminded Troy a while ago when I was about 8 or 10 years old, and we were mom was running the Palisades Sunday School back in those days, and not many men helping and what have you. And it was a winter day, and it was snowed about 6 or 8 inches that morning, Sunday morning. And she said, well, probably nobody will come to Sunday school this morning, but it's our responsibility to be there and build the fire in case somebody comes. And so I went with her, and we went down and built the fire and waited for a half an hour or so. Nobody came. They were smarter than coming out on a day like that. But it taught me a lesson as a young boy that you just be faithful to what God's called you to do. And it's the same way in teaching. One person, 100 people, it doesn't make any difference. God lays something on your heart, you just teach it and pray that it's a blessing for someone. This morning, I don't want to embarrass Kayla, but I don't care if I do. There are some people in this world when you dial the phone and they answer, it's like music. It's happy sounds. And it just reminded me as I was talking to her on the phone, gee, Jerry, don't answer the phone. Oh, yeah, hello, how you doing? No, it's a good day. And I told her when I gave her the scripture that I said, well, it's not very uplifting. It's a lot of pain here that Paul is going through. And we're going to read about it. She says, oh, no, that's good. That's good stuff. And so thank you, and I appreciate that very much. Getting the theme here this morning, as you can see from Scripture, and you see from that wonderful artwork of Paul Warner, who knows that when he has the artwork, he is supposed to phone the preacher and ask what the subject is. But no, he doesn't do that. So I have to try and catch him in my busy schedule. Anyway, Paul, you nailed it. Star thistle, dead digger pine, 100 10 degrees. You know, we all have our crosses to bear. And but as we read, as Kayla read that scripture this morning about what Paul went through, sure, the Lord saved him, but when the Lord knocked him down on that road to, where was he going? Emmaus? Damascus Road. You know, Paul said, oh, wow, I know the Lord of this universe. I'm saved. This is awesome. I'm forgiven. I'm going to be his servant. And then if the Lord would have rolled out in front of him, well, this is what I got in store for you down the road, he'd have probably went, oh, I didn't know I was signing up for that. Well, you weren't signing up for it. I was calling you for it, and that's what you're going to do, and that's what's laid out in front of you. And so get over it and follow me, and we'll get through it. And Paul does. And the neat thing about that scripture, though, this morning was all the things that he went through. And, oh, and if you read that list and in other places, he's whipped 39 times and three different times he took that shipwrecked and all the things that happened to him. And then you get down to the end of that chapter, and it's talking about the love of Christ and how to all have peace with one another and encourage one another in the Lord. And then he gets down to the end of life, and he says, I've fought the good fight. I finished the race. I finished the course. And you go, wow, that's awesome. And so as we look at the 23rd Psalm this morning, turn with me there. Skip. So, wonderfully pointed out to me before we started this that we're on the 23rd Psalm on the 23rd of July, and that has real significance somehow. We've only been on it for ever. As Paul said, maybe we're over with the sheep and stuff, but no, we're not. We're going on with the sheep. I even have some pictures this morning that I couldn't do last Sunday. But here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I hope we can remember that what we looked at talked about last Sunday, about how he guides us in the paths of righteousness. And part of that's for his name's sake. And that's a great truth. But then it comes to verse 4 and it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now the picture becomes, and Skip nailed it with his songs. And by the way, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Don't want to bore you with old things, but Vicki Smith some years ago sang that at camp. And the first time any of us had ever heard it, I guess it was a new song back then. And it just, that thrilled my heart. That the message of that song is awesome. When heaven came down and glory filled my soul, I was forgiven. I was put in a right relationship with Jesus. And glory filled my soul. And that's something to shout about. That's something to get excited about. And I appreciated these songs. Wounded and weary was one of the lines, or some of the words in one of the lines. Wounded and weary. Yeah, that's what today we're talking a little bit more about, is going through the valley, going through the valleys of life. And the sheep pictures really fit into that. We're going to look at some of those, just as a kind of a reminder. We saw some of these before, but we'll start with these slides, and you'll remember this gal right off the bat. And you know, I love that slide, and it's always going to stick in my mind because it is such a picture of the Lord's sheep in rebellion to him. I'll do my own thing. I'll keep my own stuff. She ran from the shearer for 6 years. She never was taken in, and when they finally got the 60 pounds of wool off of her, 6 years later, that's what it was. Dirty, nasty, stinky, caked wool. And, you know, it's a picture that we shouldn't forget. That if you want to live the life under your own terms and leave God out of it, you may think you look pretty swell, but you don't. In fact, you probably kind of stink. And this old gal, she escaped for a long time. Next slide is what happens to you when you finally get caught. And I love this picture because if you can see the face of that sheep right there, and of course he's held her between his knees and tipped her over there, and he's taken the wool off of her. And it really, her face kind of looks to me like, this is okay. This is a tender thing. This is not one of those contests where you see how much wool you can get off how fast and how much you have to sew up the sheep after you do it. This is a shepherd here that is very tender, and he's taking the wool off of the sheep. And, you know, that would be a good testimony time for us. When was it? Think about that you could express it to other people. When was it that God finally got you down there between his knees and said, listen, we're going to take off some of this stuff. You think you're comfortable, but you're really not. You need to trust me. Let me assure you. And that's a beautiful picture. And then we'll go on, and the psalm goes on, and we talked about it last time. I love this picture, talking about trails of sheep and following the shepherd, and this is a picture from up out of Ketchum, Idaho, and where the sheep are coming down and crossing a swinging bridge, and just a beautiful picture of there's shepherds you can see up in there, and there's probably some up in front leading them. And it speaks to me, when we follow the Lord, there's a lot of different adventure in it. And I don't know about sheep, but you could no more get a cow across that bridge than the man on the moon. Sheep would just not walk on that swinging bridge. But those sheep are trusting, and they're going across there following one another. The next slide is a beautiful slide in the fall in the same area up near Sun Valley, Idaho, Ketchum. And it just speaks of sometimes the trails where we follow the Lord. And I got to say this in my own life. I've been thinking about this morning. I don't know why God or how he ends up choosing which of his human beings. But my life has been absolutely soft in comparison to the life of so many saints. And I just see this picture and I go, it's beautiful. Right here, it's downhill, following the shepherd. It's coming probably out of the high country and coming down in the fall. And the quake and aspen and whatnot are just alive with color. It's just a time to say, God is good. God is good. But not all trails are downhill. Turn to the next slide. This is an amazing picture. And this picture, there's so many things in this picture. But there's about five or six men, shepherds, working these sheep. At the sharp turns, there's some shepherds. That one up there in the middle looks like maybe a sheep has turned around and says, this is enough, I want to go back the other way. And he's up there to turn that sheep around. Every time you come to a switchback, and I know this with cattle, every time you come to a switchback on a mountain trail, they don't want to turn and go back up the steep one. They want to keep going the same. Isn't that the way we are? Isn't that the way we are? We start following the Lord, and first of all, if our eyesight's very good, we can look up at that whole thing and say, ooh, I don't know about this. There's a tree at the top, and the trail's going right behind that tree. I don't know if you can see it, but it's going to get to that high plateau. And obviously, but the fact that that trail is all built in rock work, that's an ancient trail. That is an old trail. And the shepherd's been up that trail. And he knows that up on top, there's greener pastures, there's higher ground. But to get there, you're going to have to take this little trail here. And that's the way valleys are. In Keller's book, that we still have a lot of copies of, if you would like one, when he talks about, he takes me through the valley of the shadow of death, he speaks about how to get to the high country, most all the roads, most all the trails follow the valley floor. And if you go to Boise and take southeast out of Boise, there's Highway 20. And at Highway 20, it's 80 miles to another highway across there to go to Ketchum in Sun Valley, Idaho. And what you're doing at Boise is you're in those high desert plains. And then as you start up Highway 20, it just follows creeks and meadows. And it's one of the prettiest drives. I mean, it is a beautiful drive. I love it. And the valleys are wide. The creek is meandering and rather quiet. But the farther up you go, the narrower the canyons get. And this is the way with all the high country. Until pretty quick you start getting steep sides and you start getting shadows. But that's what's happening that David, see, he had to take the sheep to the high country when he was a shepherd, young man. And the experience is that the farther up the valleys you go, the steeper it gets, the tougher it gets, and the darker it gets. And in those deep canyons, there's predators, there's rock slides, there's quick thunderstorms. All those things can happen to the shepherd and his sheep as he's taking them up there. And then in this canyon, obviously, by the time they got to the end of it, there wasn't a very graceful ridge to get a little higher. So they have built this steep trail. Well, life. Sometimes if you're going to walk with God on a higher ground, he's going to take you through some valleys. And what's our answer to those times in life when things are really tough? Do we get angry? Bitter? Do we think about with a persecuted church, is there revenge? Or is there loss of hope? Or maybe the faith begins to fade. It's interesting what God calls us all to. And as I mentioned before, my life and my family, my neighborhood, my friends, it's been pretty easy. It's been a pretty easy life. And I look back on that and I wonder why. How does God make up his mind on who has to go through what? Even health-wise, some of you and some of our dear closest friends suffer through some health issues that are just terrible. They're awful. And they test our faith. Some of it, we look at it, and I think some of the hardest health issues are when doctors don't have an answer for it. It's unknown. And yet it's painful and it's discomforting and it goes on and on and on. And at least if the doctor knew what it was and was prescribing something and we were under some treatments, we'd have maybe a little hope with that. But sometimes that's not true. It's not what there is. And so you just live with it. And one of the things, and we'll talk about this morning a little bit, is what not to do when we're in trouble. What not to do when circumstances are really bad. Big trouble. Can't get your breath trouble. Pressure trouble. Let me read to you from Decision Magazine. I don't know how many of you take this, but Decision Magazine is a Billy Graham thing, and Franklin Graham now. they just had a conference on the persecuted church. There were 600 people invited from around the world that have been persecuted and known some really hard times. A couple of the people there at that last, at the conference, were relatives to those, I think there were 21 that were led out on the beach and had their heads cut off there because they wouldn't deny Christ by ISIS, and it was all over the news. Those people were brothers and uncles to some of the people that were at this conference, Christian people that love the Lord and have suffered that kind of persecution. There's a story in here of a gal. I kept going only because of my faith, it says. For Jesus, African woman endured nearly 3 years of brutal confinement. Why Jerry Boyle has the life he has and why she is tested beyond measure, there's no answers for that sort of thing. Here's her story. Females were put in a room containing other women who had been arrested for various reasons. 3 weeks later, she transferred to another prison where she was held in a shipping container. There were around 10 of us in a container, she recalled. It was full of lice and it was dirty. It was hard to sleep because we were bitten so much by the lice. It was cold at night and hot during the day. We received very little food. As if these conditions were not already horrific, there was the added layer of sanitation. There was no fresh air or no natural light, and the floor was always wet because there was no toilet. Brain and the fellow Christian prisoners would often wake up in the morning severely bruised and sore from beatings they would endure due to the refusal to sign documents renouncing their faith. I kept going only because of my faith, she said. We prayed aloud together multiple times a day, and inside I had peace. The guards would shout, "You are foolish," each time they would hear us pray. At one point, the guards found a letter of encouragement she had written to another prisoner. They surrounded her and demanded to know where she was keeping the Bible that contained the scripture used in the letter. When she told the guards she didn't have a copy of the Bible with her, but knew the scripture because she spent so much time memorizing them, one guard responded, "Well, if we can't destroy the book, we'll destroy where you keep its words." They began to strike her violently in the head. The guards took her outside the container for more torture. Bahrain said of one of the guards in particular, "He beat me countless times, taking breaks only to regain his strength. My body went into shock." After several days of this pattern, Bahrain was dizzy, bloody, bruised, and couldn't walk. The guards tried to chain her, but her hands were too swollen. Upon examination, the doctor said she had only a few days to live. Because the prison didn't want the burden of dealing with a dead body, she was sent home. She had spent a total of 32 months in prison, almost all of it in a shipping container. But I won't sign and denounce my Savior. Wow. You know, there are valleys that some of us are in, but there are other valleys that we see people go through. And we need to remember them in prayer and be as supportive as we possibly can, not only around the world, but for those of our own body that are going through some terrible, seemingly unbearable situations. So, how do we respond to those situations? The one thing I think that we don't do is say why. Because when we start saying why, we start trying to judge what God is allowing or what he's doing in our lives. I don't think we need to know why. Because a lot of times there's no answer to that anyway. And it just puts us in the mode of questioning God. And she could have said, why? But they kept praying, and They kept encouraging one another, writing a letter to one another, supporting one another. But said, had peace. I was at peace. So you see, even though I haven't been through those kinds of things, that kind of a valley of the shadow of death, I see people that have, and I see that they stand up under it. I read about Paul and all he went through, and I go, Paul, why don't you give up? Quit preaching. No. It's the gospel. People need to hear it. God is blessing me. I have joy in this. I have pain, but I have joy in this. And so somehow trying to turn our persecution or our bad health circumstances or bad relationship circumstances or whatever it is that's causing us that trouble and that heartache, trying to turn that around and say, God, I'm going to trust you in it. This is going to cause me to trust you in new and greater ways. Turn with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. And this is a verse that maybe many of you learned. I know that it was part of what I learned when I was a small boy. And but in this simple proverb, these few lines of this proverb are some great truth. And I want to just talk about them a little bit this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. I think that's where the don't ask why comes in. You can't, don't lean on your own understanding. You aren't going to be able to figure it out. You aren't going to know why one person has this terrible physical problem or ailment and they can't solve it. And this other person goes through life whistling Dixie, healthy as a horse. Now, we don't know why that is. But we do know this, that sin came into the world, and through sin, there's all kinds of maladies that we have. Not only for our health, but persecution and all the rest. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That word, acknowledge him in all your ways, that's an interesting word. That in the Hebrew, that's a yada, Y-A-D-A. I think that's probably how you pronounce it. I don't know. Yada. And that word, acknowledge him, is also, that word is used in 1 Chronicles 28:9. And it's David talking to his son Solomon. And he says, know the God of your father. That's the same word that's translated, acknowledge him in one place, know in the other. To know or to acknowledge, to understand it. Know the God of your father. You see, the problem is not to know why the situation is the way it is, so much as it is to know the God that's going to walk you through the situation. Know, and this is what Solomon, I don't think, took this to heart too well, but this is what his dad told him. Know the God of your father. Serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. Serve him with your whole heart, with a whole heart and a willing mind. Now, it is real easy for me to say I'm following the Lord. But to say I'm following the Lord with a whole heart, that's a little different. Not letting the other things come in and crowd out my devotion to God, my enjoyment with him, my time and my peace with him. Other things, I've catched myself not having a whole heart toward God. It's in pieces, actually, with pieces of it going here and pieces of it going there. Now, I know the issue. We all have relationships and marriages and families and jobs and all kinds of other things in life that we have to do and are involved in. But here, so did Solomon. As David is telling him, you're going to be king. You're going to have a lot of responsibilities, but you've got to serve God with a whole heart. And a willing mind. I thought that was an interesting translation in the New American Standard. A whole heart and a willing mind. It's a mindset that we got to say, I have to keep God first. And that's not easy. There's so many things that crowd that out of our lives. But how can we acknowledge God in all our ways? Well, what are some ways that we can acknowledge God? I wrote down three here. I actually was doing a little studying and research on this and ran across these three things by a young college student who put these three things. So, first of all, that's where we're trying to get. I love that picture. That's where we're trying to get. We're trying to get on the higher ground. We're trying to be up there where it's us and the shepherd. There's good pasture. There's peace. The shepherd's taking care of us. And then that next slide. Here's how one way to get there. How do we acknowledge God? Well, we can acknowledge his existence. If you look at Hebrews 11:6. Oh, by the way, I want to throw a challenge out this morning for anybody that'd like to do this with me. I'm going to take these three things this week, and every morning I'm going to look at these three things of acknowledging. And I'm going to read them, and I'm going to pray about them. And this week, if you'd like to do that with me, I would love that, and especially if you would share it back with me and say, yeah, I want to do that this week. But acknowledge his existence. Now, when you first read that, well, Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, in other words, he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. When you first look at acknowledge his existence, you say, oh, yeah, well, I believe God exists. Of course I do. But to acknowledge and know God's existence, who he is, as revealed in Scripture. Now, a lot of people throughout the world would say, well, I believe in God. But do you believe in the God of the Scriptures? Do you believe in the revealed truth of God being Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Savior, the Sustainer, the Provider, a God of compassion, a God of justice, a God of righteousness? Do you believe the God that exists by our knowledge of the Word of God? That's the God that we need to acknowledge his existence. Not just that there is a God, but who is that God? And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. Acknowledge God from the pages of Scripture. Okay, the next slide is acknowledge God by conforming to his ways. How do I acknowledge God in my life? By conforming to his ways. So I'm going through this terrible struggle. I'm in one of these valleys. Things are desperate and difficult, and I can't see the end of it. So the first thing I do is I acknowledge God's existence. He is who he says he is. I am who he says I am. But I can read in Scripture and understand from my own personal experience who this God is, who he's all present, omnipresent. He's there. He cares. He has the numbers of the hair on my head numbered. And he's using subtraction now as he works on that. But the next one is, No, go back. Thank you. I'm in this struggle, I'm in this valley, but I'm going to acknowledge God by conforming to his ways. I am not going to do an ungodly thing to get out of this situation. And I think that's what I see with these people that are persecuted, especially in the Middle East and other places around the world. You know, my first reaction to a bunch of hoodlums breaking into my home or these Christian homes over there and killing their kids is that we need to send them more guns. But that's not what God is doing, and that's not how God is working. These people are praying for their persecutors. They're trying to escape, sure. So did Paul. It's kind of interesting, and all those things that happened to Paul, he also says, hey, yeah, and they let me down out of the window to get away from one crazy guy. You try to escape, you try to survive, you try to do what you can, but you don't retaliate, and you don't have revenge, and you don't have anger, and you don't have bitterness toward these circumstances. And that's when people really know that the Lord Jesus is alive in your life. The circumstances aren't going to change your behavior. You are going to conform to his ways. Whether then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So the little things of life, from just having a meal or drinking a glass of water, whatever it is, from the little things in life to whatever you do. And I really can relate this to the situation where it's bad, broken relationships, and somebody needs to pay for that. And it's persecution, and somebody needs to pay for that. And you go, wait a minute. What's the Lord say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You trust me, you walk with me, you stay with me. You let your ways be like my ways. How'd Jesus respond? And you say, well, no, that's right. He wouldn't have responded like that. He would have responded like this. And so I think that's one of the ways we get through the really tough places. Okay, now the last one. Acknowledge his living in you. And I think this is important. Galatians 2:20, the first part of the verse says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, that's a verse in the Bible that's up there, but I need to get that off of that screen and get it in here. I need to acknowledge every day that Jesus is living in me. He is living in me, and he wants to use this body, this voice, this person to minister to wife, to children, to neighbors, to whomever. He is living in me. He wants me to conform to his image. And then if you go on with those verses, that's where it says you need to die to yourself. But oftentimes, and as I was looking at these verses this week, oftentimes I get the dying to myself real big in my mind, and the living Jesus living in me real small. And so I get fearful about that. I go, well, I don't die to myself very well. I'm pretty selfish, and I don't. But I think the key there is, it's easier to die to yourself, to your own desires, to your own selfishness, to your own wishes. It's easier to set those aside if you understand that Jesus is trying to live through you. And he's got something today. He's got communion with him, and he has communion with others and fellowship and service with others. He has that plan. He wants to do something in your life today. And so now, when I set my mind that way, and what's it say? What is it? Philippians, where you set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. That's a little different. That's a little different motivation for me. Well, you need to just be more disciplined, and you need to die to yourself and quit being so doggone selfish. Well, yeah. But it's like exercise. Well, when I was growing up, and still have the same hate for exercise, running with no purpose, running. But I was playing baseball. And in order to play the game the way it was supposed to be played, I had to get in shape. Well, then that wasn't so bad because I was going to play this game that I love. So, okay, let's run wind sprints, do setups, do our push-ups, do the things we're supposed to do so we can play this game the way we're supposed to play it and have the fun we're supposed to do and perform like we'd really like to be able to perform. So now the physical agony of exercise isn't so bad. It's something that I can do so I can do this. And I think that's the same way I need to look at letting Christ live in me and disciplining my own life. It's, if Christ wants to live in me and we're going to do something today together, this morning, this afternoon, Jesus and I are going to do something together, then it behooves me to not do this. Let this fall away. No, don't talk like that. No, don't say that. Don't eat like that. You know, whatever. Whatever it might be. Because Jesus wants to live in me today. Ah, that's going to help me. So, anyway, those are the three things that I leave with you, and throw this challenge out for you if you'd like to do them with me. In the morning, acknowledge his existence. Who he is in Scripture. Yes, you're there, you're alive, you know everything. You know my heart, you know what's in front of me today. Yes, you're a God that's there and in control. Acknowledge that I need to conform to his ways. Okay. Lord, I need to understand and know how you want to respond in my life today. And then acknowledge the fact that he wants to live out his life in me that day. Yeah. Take the challenge with me and let me know. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you that there are valleys in our lives. We go through some hard times, and some of my dear friends go through some much harder times in life than I do. The circumstances of their life is so difficult, and sometimes seemingly unbearable. And yet, Lord, you're taking them through that, and you walk with them in that. May they have the peace of knowing you. May they have the peace that the God of comfort will comfort them, that the Holy Spirit will be with them, that will wipe their brow, that you will hold up them by the elbow and lift them up over rough places. Lord, may they know your presence in a special way, that they might have the grace to live out under the terrible circumstances that we would think are just unbearable or terrible. And yet, Lord, they're in them, our brothers and sisters throughout the world. They're in terrible situations. And yet, Lord, as we hear and as reported over and over again, the joy of those Christians, the peace that they have, the fellowship that they have with you in a great new way, higher ground. They're walking on higher ground with you, Lord. And we thank you for that. May we learn from their lessons, from their lives, and our own lives, how to walk on that higher ground with you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have prayer time and share.